The peace of Christ be with you. It's Friday at Hope College, second to last Friday of the school year. We have a number of guests here that are visiting and looking at Hope College as a prospective home, and we want to welcome you here to Hope College. My name is Trigby Johnson, and I am the Dean of the Chapel, and it is wonderful to be with you. Hey, thank you. Wonderful to be here. You know, we're coming to the end soon, and that means that summer is on the horizon. Tell the person to your right or left one thing you're excited about this summer that's coming up. But go ahead, talk to each other. All right. We got some activities going on, I imagine you guys are excited to be done with the school year and go home and see some friends and family, maybe a job or maybe a camp or maybe you're doing summer research. Lots of things to look forward to. In the Johnson household, we're excited about this summer, but I'm also a little terrified. In about 3 weeks, 3.5 weeks, we are expecting our second child. Welcome to the world. Yeah. And I don't know if I mentioned this, but it's a daughter. We're having a girl, and I'm terrified by this fact. I've got a 2.5-year-old son, and now we're gonna have a daughter, and I'm excited because I can't wait to meet her. I can't wait to hear what her laugh is gonna be like, and to hold her, and to know that God has entrusted this life into Kristen and I's care. But I'm terrified because I'm having a girl, and I have no idea what it means to be a father to a daughter. And as we're expecting this new life into our life, I've done the math, and 2 is twice as many as 1. And I'm wondering what does that mean for our marriage, and what does it mean for my son, and all of these new kinds of sets of questions that start happening. What does it look like to be a good parent, and how do we organize our time, and what are the limits on job and family, and how do I start preparing now so that she'll have an opportunity to come to a school like this, that someday she'll be visiting Hope College and coming to worship in here, and all of these kind of questions you start asking yourself. And part of it is these kind of questions of what do I want to pass on? What do I want to instill in this person I already love who I have not yet met? And what do I want to instill, I think, has something to do with God and with God's benefits. On Sunday night, we listened to this Psalm 103, and I want to bring our attention back to it today because there is a specific benefit that I think that I want to make sure that I care and pass on to my daughter and to my son. Hear the word of the Lord as it comes from Psalm 103. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and all that is within me. Bless his holy name. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and forget not his benefits. Who forgives all your iniquities, who heals all your diseases, who redeems your life from the pit, who crowns you with steadfast love and mercy, who satisfies you with good all the days of your life, that your youth might be renewed like the eagles. The Lord works vindication and justice for all who are oppressed. He made known his ways to Moses, his acts to the people of Israel. The Lord is merciful and gracious, slow to anger, and abounding in steadfast love. He will not always accuse, nor will he keep his anger forever. He does not deal with us according to our sins, nor repay us according to our iniquities. For as the heavens are high above the earth, so great is his steadfast love to those who fear him. As far as the east is from the west, so far does he remove our transgressions from us. As a father has compassion on his children, so the Lord has compassion on those who fear him. For he knows how we were made and remembers that we are dust. As for mortals, their days are like grass. they flourish like a flower in the field. The wind passes over it, and its place knows it no more. But the steadfast love of the Lord is from everlasting to those who fear him, and his righteousness to children's children, to those who keep his covenant and remember to do his commandments. The Lord has established his throne in the heavens, and his kingdom rules over all. Oh, bless the Lord, oh, you his angels, you mighty ones that do his bidding, obedient to his spoken word. Bless the Lord, all his hosts, his ministers that do his will. Bless the Lord, all his works in all places of his dominion. Bless the Lord, oh my soul. Friends, this is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. Bless the Lord, oh my soul, and do not forget what? His benefits, dash. Everything that follows that dash is an articulation of what some of those benefits are. It's the benefits of forgiveness. It's the benefits of healing. It's the benefits of God taking us out of the pit of the most desperate circumstances. It's the benefit of being crowned with love and mercy. The benefit of having your days satisfied with good. It's the benefit of a God who works vindication for the oppressed. It's the benefit of a God who reveals, who made his ways known to Moses, his acts to the people of Israel. The benefit of a God who acts in history. But there's one benefit in here that I'm particularly mindful as I anticipate welcoming this daughter into our home, into my arms, into my life, into my heart. It's the benefit that is found in verses 15 through 18. What I call the benefit of perspective and horizon. As for mortals, their days are like grass. They flourish like a flower in the field. The wind passes over it and it is gone. And its place knows it no more. That's the perspective. The benefit of knowing that our days are like grass. The benefit of knowing that we don't have all the time in the world. Sometimes we can forget this when we're young, but nothing lasts forever. Nothing. Our days are like grass. They're numbered. Sometimes I think that we're ill-served in a culture that suggests to us that we can do it all and that we have no limits. It's an absolute lie. You do have limits. You do have a limited number of days in your life. On Friday mornings, I pray with a group of men, with our president, Jim Boltman, and a couple other people. One of the people is Bill Brownson, who preached here today. I told him I was preaching on this, and he says, "You know how many days I've been alive?" I said, "No." He said, "Well, I've been alive 30,682 days. He did the math. That's how many days the brother keeps track of his days. Now, what's the benefit of knowing that your days are numbered? Well, one of the benefits is simply this, is that it can fuel your life with purpose. Annie Dillard says that what you do with your days is, of course, what you do with your life. You can't do it all, and you have to make choices. And what are the choices that you are going to make? Your days are numbered and limited. Invest your days in the things that really, really count, that really, really matter. It says that, as for mortals, their days are like grass. They flourish like a flower in the field. The wind passes over it, and its place knows it no more. We'll be forgotten. There's no person, there's no country, there's no institution that lasts forever. Which means that our reputations, our grades, some of the things that preoccupy us right now aren't really the most important things that maybe we should keep in mind. And that's what I'm trying to keep in mind as I feel some anxieties as a coming father. This place will know them no more. It's a terrible thing to be forgotten. C.S. Lewis offers us a picture of hell that is an alternative to fire and heat and brimstone. And his picture of hell is a place where people are forgotten. No one knows each other. No one knows each other's names. Hell is a place where there is no memory. As for mortals, their days are like grass. We will all be forgotten. But it goes on, and this is one of the benefits. But, the steadfast love of the Lord is from everlasting to those who fear him, and his righteousness to children's children, to those who keep his covenant and remember to do his commandments. Yes, our days are numbered, but the steadfast love of the Lord is from everlasting to everlasting. Our days are finite, but God's love is infinite, which means that if we have life in him, we participate in something that will have no end. The sun will never set. We are called to be a people who live our lives invested in something that will endure from everlasting to everlasting. I have this image that I keep close to my heart on bad days. I like to visit this image to give myself not only a reminder of a perspective, but also a reminder of the horizon. The horizon of the everlasting love of God that is from everlasting to everlasting, that is infinite, that is eternal. I'm an old man. I don't know, older than Paul Boersma. Much older, stretch it a couple decades past. I'm 87, 88 maybe 98, God willing, if I make it that long. I got to start running. But I'm with my children's children. I'm with my daughter's daughter. I'm with my son's son. And I'm an old man, and I know that my days are numbered. And I see them. And maybe we're coming into Dimnit Chapel together. And maybe I get to see my daughter's daughter, my son's son, worship the living God. And it is an image that I remind myself that what I'm doing today is investing in who they become tomorrow, because it goes from generation to generation, that his righteousness is to children's children. Do you see what I'm saying? Do you get what I'm trying to get at? That possibility of a vision begins right now for me, and it begins right now for you. And the way we get at it, says, is to keep God's covenant and to do his commandments. But the question is, how do we keep God's covenant? We're not in a faith that says that we keep covenant just simply by doing acts. We keep God's covenant by putting our faith in the one who keeps God's covenant. Jesus on the cross, on that day on Golgotha, was crucified, and he shouted, my God, why have you forsaken me? He is in hell. God has turned his face away. Why? God has forsaken his son so that no one here will ever be forsaken. Jesus is forgotten so that no one else will be forgotten. We keep God's covenant by keeping faith in the one who keeps the covenant for us. For in Christ, God's love shall never let us go from everlasting to everlasting. And that is what I want to pass on to my daughter, to my son, and to you. And it also begins, if we put our faith in Jesus, to follow Jesus. Jesus says that if you love me, you will keep my commandments. Jesus says, if you love me, you will take up your cross and follow me. It's not only just a faith in Jesus, but it's a faith that follows Jesus, those that do his commandments. We're coming to the end of the school year. It's lots of time to celebrate and to party. Work well done. It's a lot of time to find some closure, but I want to encourage you to act in such a way that is worthy of our King, that is worthy of the institution of hope. This is not a time to fall off the wagon. This is not a time to debase ourselves. This is a time, and this is a place, to make those kinds of investments in your life, in the relationships that will endure. His steadfast love of the Lord, the righteousness to children's children, comes to those who keep his covenant, who keep in Christ, and then are willing to do and follow Christ wherever that may lead. As we launch into this weekend and into these final days, may the benefit of the perspective that our days together are numbered and the horizon that we belong to something that will have no end, may it groove into us and mark us. In the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit. And everyone said, Amen. Go in peace, my friends.